Hey, today we're talking with Dan Vargason. Dan is one of the Spanish instructors at the Atlantic High School. Good morning.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. Thanks for coming in. I know it's summer, but, you know, schoolwork never stops, does it?
Oh, it never does. I love it.
Well, we're in here actually talking about something that's school-related right now, coming up actually a little over a year from now, but we're kind of getting started with a lot of the process now. You're going to have a group of students head off to Costa Rica for an educational trip.
Yeah, you know, we take the kids for 10 days. We go down and see quite a bit of different things. You know, we see the ecosystem, see a school while we're down there, go whitewater rafting, zip lining, a little bit of everything. So there's some vacation to it. There's also a lot of education to it as well.
I was going to say, we got to stress that education part when you start talking whitewater rafting and zip lining and stuff. But they got to have some fun and experience things.
Exactly. You know, they get to experience the culture firsthand, you know, interact with people from there, you know, use their Spanish as much or as little as they want. It's kind of their opportunity, you know, to interact with native speakers in an authentic way.
Absolutely. You've done this before. Is Costa Rica kind of a regular destination?
Yeah, we chose Costa Rica. My first year here, we actually opened the trip up, and this will be our school's fourth trip going to Costa Rica specifically, and with EF tours. And the reason we picked this country is it's very safe. You know, that's the biggest concern, obviously, of parents and of, you know, the school district, is we want to make sure our kids are taken care of, so we choose there. It's also very affordable. So between the safety and the affordability and how beautiful the country is, it's just a perfect fit for us.
Yeah, I know with Costa Rica, there's several Americanized resorts and things over there that folks like to visit. It has been a popular destination, and all those things are important, too. But they're also going to get a feel for the nature, the natural, cultural way of life there too. They're going to get a chance to use that Spanish they've been learning.
Exactly. You know, they get to barter with things. You know, if they want to go buy something, you know, the price is always way high. You know, you got to talk to them to get it down. You know, they like to order. You know, our tour guide speaks Spanish to us. Our bus driver speaks Spanish. So it's just a great opportunity to really use the language.
Yeah. And how often do you go then? Every other year?
We go every other year.
Every other year. So realistically, a student would at least get a chance to go once if they were involved in the Spanish program in high school.
Correct. You know, if you came out for 4 years, you would for sure have two opportunities every other year. And then the opposite cycle, they would only get one attempt. You know, you have to complete 2 years so that way you have enough Spanish to be able to survive down there. You know, we don't want to take somebody who's, you know, can count to 10 and say the alphabet. That doesn't really benefit them. So we try to get them a little bit more experience into two. So they do have one or two chances.
Sure. All right. Very good. How many students take Spanish at the Atlantic High School? Do you know?
Oh, we've got a couple hundred. I think I have about 135 students myself. So we're probably looking close to 200 students.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's about half our student body.
That's way more than used to take foreign languages when we were in high school.
Yeah, you know, the colleges have started to emphasize a little bit more the RAI, you know, the index they use for admissions, scholarships and things like that really push for it. And it's a growing language in our country, so we encourage it. Obviously, it's not required to graduate. It's not required at every college, but the growth is there.
Yeah, very good. So you've got a couple of hundred students, perhaps, that in the Atlantic schools that are taking. How many can you take along with you, though, on the trip?
You know, we can take as many as we want. You know, we try to cap it around 45. The bus sizes is about 45 kids. We've never come close to that. We usually get about 20 to 25. This is actually our biggest trip so far. We have 27 students signed up, and we paired up with IKM Manning to help fill out a bus. So that together between their school and our school, we have a bus to ourselves so we can really achieve the goals we want and kind of control the trip.
Well, it's kind of nice, too, because they're right up the road. They're kind of a neighboring school district. You get a chance to know some kids that you can interact with even after you get back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they create friendships with kids that maybe they didn't know before they left, you know, even from our own school. And now they have the opportunity with someone down the road and kids they compete with in some of the sports and activities. You know, it's a great opportunity for that.
Sure, you bet. Well, I'm pretty sure the airlines in Costa Rica aren't just opening up and saying, oh, that's great. Come on down. We'll pick up all the costs. There's probably going to be some fundraising involved.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, each student is responsible for paying for their own trip. We offset costs with fundraising and grant writing as much as possible, but each student is responsible for almost $3,000 each. That's with passports, insurance, food, everything included is around $3,000. In the past, you know, we've had great support from the Rotary. We've had support from the foundation, you know, just all sorts of great things. We've done the Taco Night fundraisers, and this year we're going to try a carnival. So that's what we have coming up here at the end of June.
Yeah, well, say roughly $3,000 per student. And you said you had, what, 27 signed up?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do the math there. You're looking at what, about a little over 80 grand that you'd have to raise in total to cover the cost for everybody. So that's probably not necessarily going to happen. That would mean folks became very, very generous to do that. But you try to raise as much as you can. Does it, whatever you raise, does that get distributed evenly throughout those students then?
Yeah, you know, the state of Iowa has some pretty specific laws on how we can divide up student funding and things like that. So we have to offer them opportunities to get involved. If they don't take those opportunities, then, you know, obviously we have some freedom to limit the amount they get. But if they all participate, we split that evenly. We give that out to everybody. On average, we give students about $750 to $800 per trip cycle. So, you know, roughly third, fourth of their trip paid for.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. So the students get a chance to raise money collectively with these types of activities. So you said a carnival night?
Yeah, on June 30th, we're going to try a carnival out. You know, where I grew up, it was fantastic. Our PTA always did a carnival. So I kind of stole this idea. You know, we're just going to open up the high school from 3 to 6 p.m. And kids, community members, parents, whoever wants to come up, you know, we'll have little carnival games, little prizes. You know, we're working on getting a dunk tank lined up, pie a teacher in the face. You know, we'll auction off some of the kids' talents. You know, some of the kids that can go out and help with fences and work. You know, kids that can bake things. You know, we're just going to do a little bit of everything. You know, we'll have hot dogs, hamburgers, cotton candy, all sorts of good stuff up there.
Now, will this be the first fundraiser that you are holding for this particular cycle, this trip?
Yes, we will be doing that, and then we'll be doing some stuff with Ragbri.
Okay.
And then in the fall, we will do another taco night. That has been a good thing for us. That's been about $3,000 to $5,000 each time with silent auction and a dinner. So this one, this is our first, and hopefully we can get a good start on fundraising.
Yeah, and so, yeah, the fundraising will continue over time. What's the deadline for them to have to get that money into to pay for the trip?
Yeah, the month before we leave, so
okay.
That would be June of 2020, and they have a choice on how they pay. They can pay. We have some people who just pay it in full. And then as we deposit money, they get a check back from our company. We have some that do monthly payments. And then we have some who do, they set up their own manual plan where they can pay $500 quarterly, basically.
Okay. So it's flexible.
Yes,
for
absolutely.
Students. Some students have different means than others, and they give as many students a chance to participate as you can that way. So the kids will be involved that night with Carnival Night. They'll be kind of running things. So it's we're dependent on the public to come out and support.
Correct. You know, we need people to come out and, you know, bring kids up, play games. You know, we'll have, you know, all the carnival games that you can think of, popping the balloons with a dart, ring toss. You know, the kids are making Plinko boards. These kids are ordering things. They're building them. They're doing everything they can to do that. So it would be great if we could get people to come out, you know, and be generous. You know, we'll charge a couple bucks here and there for things, but, you know, the more people want to give, the better. I mean, this is ultimately a fundraiser. Hopefully it's fun for the community as well and for our kids in this town.
Well, it's great. If the students are enthusiastic about preparing for something like this, then there's no reason we shouldn't support something like that.
Absolutely.
Very good. So. Now, will there be support through businesses and things like that, too? I'm sure you'll have some expenses in getting this all set up with maybe supplies or perhaps with prizes and things like that.
Yeah, you know, we're still open to anybody who wants to help chip in with that. You know, we've had some kids reach out to some organizations. I know with the prizes, I think what we'll probably do is we'll all just kind of chip in a little bit, order them. But, you know, we've got some local restaurants, Family Table, they're helping out with the food. You know, I have a cotton candy machine. You know, so we have some of that stuff up front. But the prizes and things like that, a lot of that's going to come out of their pocket up front. And then they will try to make money back. We were trying this time to avoid asking the community for too much.
Sure.
On the taco fundraiser, that's very reliant on donations. So we don't want everything we do to be reliant on donations plus people coming in. So we were trying to be a little bit more self-sufficient on this fundraiser.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And I think people appreciate that, too, the fact that, like I say, the kids are responsible for raising this money. How they do it is up to them. Some of them might hold their own little fundraising events just to offset the rest of their own private money that they'll owe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Tammy Wickman, you know, we've been working with her. She hired some kids to go do some work for them. You know, we find anybody in the community that says, hey, I need 5-6 kids. You know, we'll pay them 20, 30 bucks an hour or 50 bucks a day. You know, we have kids jump on that. That's an opportunity for them to get a chunk of their trip paid for.
Yeah, it's a good learning experience, too, and earning, saving for something specific, like retirement maybe somewhere down the road, you know?
Exactly.
Get them started early. Well, back to circling around to the educational aspect of this, how much does it mean to a student who is committed enough to the Spanish program that they've decided to take at least 2 years of Spanish to be able to get out and use it in a real-world setting instead of just in the classroom? How much does that mean to the educational process?
Yeah, that's huge, you know, and not just with the language itself. You know, obviously, you know, that's great. They get to use it. We could get native speakers here. But, you know, when we get to go live their lifestyle, we get to see the way everything is. And they just get to get out of, you know, Atlantic Iowa. Some of these kids have never been out of the country. Some of them have said they've never even been out of the state of Iowa. So when we have that big of a change, that's a huge growth process for them. You know, it helps with their maturity. You know, we have kids that get homesick and have to learn how to deal with that, you know, before they go to college, things like that. We've dealt with a little bit of everything. But, you know, for our program, this is a huge culture lesson. You know, we read culture notes in our book. That's great. But nothing replaces going somewhere and being hands-on with it.
Very good. Good experience. Get out and support. Again, give them the details on the carnival night.
Yeah, it'll be June 30th, 3 to 6 p.m. at Atlantic High School. Open to the community. There's no fee to get in, just to play the games and win the prizes.
Get the kids fired up about it and bring them on out to help support as best you can. And if there's anything else you would like to do, make perhaps over and above that top donation to help these youngsters out. They can always get a hold of someone up there at the school.
Yep, if they contact the school and just let them know it's for the carnival, or they can contact me directly. My school email address is dvargason@atlanticiaschools.org. They can find it on the school website, or again, get it from the school themselves.
Easy enough. Very good. Dan, thanks for coming by. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.